Brother Daugherty and the lectureship committee are to be commended for this splendid lectureship. The topic is extremely appropriate, and I'm honored to be included as one of the speakers. The name Denver Cooper has been in my memory for many, many years. He was at Freed Hardeman before I was, but I heard the name. And then when I came to West Virginia in 1944, I continued to hear it. I worked with Brother Wallace E. Skipper, who tells me probably more than I want to know about Brother Cooper. But I told him a few minutes ago that when I grow up, I want to preach just like he does. That was an outstanding lesson. I can remember, and I know he can, when men preach like that regularly. But now we're so concerned about building up people's self-esteem that we're not preaching much Bible in many places. I mentioned last night this book by Robert Bork, who, as you remember, was considered and rejected for the Supreme Court. His book is called Slouching Toward Gomorrah. If you do not have it, may I recommend that you get it. And if you can't afford it, Brother Cooper will buy it for you. Judge Bork discusses many of the topics that we're discussing. Feminism. And I noticed that Dr. Abey talked about feminism. And I have spoken about homosexuality. And I talked briefly about abortion. There is also a section on American education. Excellent discussion of what is happening in our country. On page 263 and following, he talks about the New Age movement, although he does not use that term. I want to read two paragraphs. As to the first, and I'll not go back and get that, we have become so accustomed to astrology columns in daily newspapers that we no longer reflect on just how preposterous it is that people in a high scientific and rational culture should pay any attention to astrology. Yet a psychiatrist told me that he estimated about 25% of his colleagues, now these are men with medical degrees, believe in astrology. 25%. Important people, like the First Lady of the United States, and I'll mention her again in a moment, arrange their affairs according to the astrologer's advice. There are, in fact, 10 times as many astrologers as astronomers in this country. I remember laughing out loud when on a cab ride from LaGuardia Airport to Manhattan, I saw a billboard offering psychic counseling over a 900 telephone number. And, of course, you see that regularly on television. Who could be so foolish as to pay to listen to a psychic? Lots of people, apparently. Now the psychics advertise on television. Television in apparently respectable programs, hosted by men with deep authoritative voices, informs us of the mysteries of the Bermuda Triangle, which is pure hogwash. The mystic powers of Egyptian pyramids, the landings of extraterrestrial spacemen among primitive peoples millennia ago, the lost continent of Atlantis, the enigma of crop circles, sightings of Bigfoot, and Loch Ness monsters. And there is more, but this coming now from a nationally respected conservative judge, but not respected by everybody, Ted Kennedy included. I also read this past week and bought in Winston-Salem a book called Killer Cults. That includes Jim Jones in South America and others that you would know. On page 99, there is a story of the group here in Moundsville, of which I had never heard before, but a chapter on what is going on at this place here. I guess they call it an ashram or something of that nature in the city, or just outside the city of Moundsville. Today, there are dozens and dozens of books that have either embraced by the light or returning from the light or whatever. And these are books about people who claim that they died and went to wherever and were comforted by the light. And these books are appearing by the hundreds in the United States. This one is written by one of the better known writers in the New Age movement, a man by the name of Brad Steiger. What is absolutely amazing about the New Age movement is the number of books that are being published. A few months ago, I was in the city of Huntsville, Alabama, and some of you have asked where Fayetteville is, and we're 25 miles from downtown Huntsville. But I asked the young man in the New Age bookstore how many separate titles he had on the New Age movement, and that would include channeling and witchcraft and UFOs and so on. And they had 3,500 titles. I later learned in a book written by Russell Chandler that the New Age movement has 25,000 titles, and many of which are published by major universities in the United States. I mentioned the First Lady, Nancy Reagan, just a moment ago in the book by Judge Bork. I just recently read a book by Joan Quigley. And if that name is not familiar to you, she was the White House astrologer. Her book is entitled, What Does Joan Say? My 7 years as White House astrologer to Nancy and Ronald Reagan. And frankly, I really do not care what Joan says. But we have to know what these astrologers are saying. And she is the top of the list of important astrologers because of her connection with Ronald and Nancy Reagan. I want to read just a few excerpts from her book. You need to get a copy of it because it really is an eye-opener. I was responsible. Now, here is an astrologer, not a political advisor, not a member of the cabinet, an astrologer who said, I was responsible for all, at all time, for all press conferences, most speeches, the State of Union addresses, the takeoffs and landings of Air Force One. I picked the time of Ronald Reagan's debate with Carter and the two debates with Walter Mondale. Now, she does not say it in this paragraph, but she does say later that she was responsible for Reagan's defeat of Carter because she picked the time of the debate and the other events during the time when they were running for president. I delayed President Reagan's first operation for cancer from July the 10th, 1985, to July the 13th, and chose the time for Nancy's mastectomy. She studied their charts, looked at the stars and the planets, and decided that July the 10th would not be a good time for the operation on President Reagan. I'm reminded of an incident in my hometown. There are people, even among members of the body of Christ, who believe there is something to the signs when they plant their corn or their potatoes or watermelons or whatever, or when they kill their hogs. My grandfather would not kill a hog unless the sign was in the right place because he said the lard would not render. Of course, other people killed hogs during times when it was not right and their lard rendered. But in this particular case, a woman went to her physician who told her she needed surgery. And she said, well, I understand that, but I would prefer to delay it. And he said, why? And she said, the sign is not right. And he said, when the sign gets right, you come back, and I will perform the surgery. So she had the surgery, and then she said to her doctor, look how well I have done. The sign was right, and I have gotten along beautifully. And he said, in the meantime, I have performed surgery on dozens of people, and all of them have done well. But there are people in our world who believe in the signs with respect to agricultural activities, and they use sticks to find water. There are people who believe, and they're not all out in the world, in water witching. In fact, I spoke at West Fayetteville in June at the request of our elders on the New Age movement. I mentioned during these lectures that people are water witches. They use sticks to find water or oil or minerals. And one of the men came up to me afterward, a very devout Christian, good man, and he said, "I am a water witch." And that takes the wind out of your sails. When Molly and I lived at Murray, Kentucky, we built a house, and I decided I would dig the well. I had never worked in a well in my life, but I laid it off to where I would not feel cramped. I don't have claustrophobia, but I didn't want to work in a little narrow place. But I dug the well down to where the soil was getting soft, and then I went to get a professional who would finish the well and get the right kind of fountain established. So I found a black guy who was a professional well digger. And he said, "Yes, I'll be glad to dig the well. But first, I want to witch for water." And I said, "Help yourself, but I know there's water there because I've been there." So he came out and he witched, and his stick turned down at the exact place that I had the well. And then he took a piece of limb about so long and split the end of it and put a quarter in it. He lay flat on the ground and got the stick to moving up and down and counted how many times it bobbed, and then he said, "Well, that's how deep the well is." I also knew that because I had been down there. But he honestly believed, as many people do, that there is something to this kind of divining, and that is a form of divining. And there is more to her book. Let me read one more statement. The Bible praises astrology in some places. It condemns it in some places and praises it in others. I have not found the place yet where it praises it. The biblical prophets were astrologers. That would have amazed the biblical prophets to have been told that. In the 53rd chapter of the book of Isaiah, the prophet who was an astrologer, but oddly enough condemned astrology more strongly than any other Old Testament writer except Moses in Deuteronomy 18. But he describes the life of Jesus 600 years before his birth. Well, she makes a number of mistakes in that. Number one, Isaiah lived about 750 years before Christ. And number two, he was not an astrologer, and he condemned astrology. Of course, all of these New Age people, or at least many of them, would love to find justification for their beliefs in the Bible. And they can twist it, Shirley MacLaine does, to harmonize with what they believe. The wise men of the King James Version are described as astrologers. And there is more, if any of you would like to care to look at these notes on Joan Quigley's book. I'll be delighted for you to do it. My first acquaintance with the New Age movement occurred about 10 years ago. I had gotten Brother F. Legard Smith's book called Out on a Broken Limb. Shirley MacLaine had written a book called Out on a Limb. And his book is Out on a Broken Limb. I think I would have called it Out on a Rotten Limb. But his book is not particularly good, and I'm not saying that to be hypercritical. But there are dozens of excellent books by very reputable conservative scholars that are far better than Brother Smith's book. In fact, as much as I have read in this area, I have never seen him quoted by anybody who's made an in-depth study of the New Age movement. When I was director of the Fried Hardeman Lectureship, we met one year, and I've forgotten the year, after the lectureship and had begun to plan for the next one. We were talking about some of the topics that you're discussing today and during this week, and I suggested that we have at least two or three lectures on the New Age movement. President Gardner was a member of the lectureship committee. And I said, "Let's get Wayne Jackson to do it. And Wayne is very capable in any assignment that you make." And President Gardner said, "No, we need Wayne on another topic. You do it." And that scared me because I had many other activities in which I needed to engage and did not need to do the amount of research required to speak on the New Age movement. But I did. And since that time, I have read literally hundreds of books and feel that I still am not well acquainted with what is happening in the New Age movement. As I mentioned a few minutes ago, there are 25,000 titles. And that's more than many small colleges have in their library. Russell Chandler has written a book called Understanding the New Age Movement. If you're going to buy just one book, then this is the one you need. Chandler was, although he is not anymore, religion editor of the Los Angeles Times. He has a master's in theology either from Yale or one of the Eastern colleges. Very knowledgeable, unusually conservative for a religion editor and for a graduate of one of the Eastern seminaries. But he gives an overall view of almost every phase of the New Age movement. But he mentioned when he started writing the book, he told a friend, I'm taking a 6-month leave and I intend to read in the New Age movement and to write a book on it. And the friend said, you can't do both. If you're going to read, you can't write because there's too much to learn. And then Russell Chandler learned just how many books there are. And there are literally thousands of them. Each time I go into a new city, like I was in Winston-Salem this past week, I try to go to all the bookstores that I can find and look for New Age books, and particularly books by those who are outstanding in the field, like Brad Steiger. I think he's written about 100 books, many of them not New Age, some of them are novels. The New Age movement is not new in some senses, and yet there are other senses in which it is. It has attracted in the United States literally millions of people. And these are new to the religious scene, new to the so-called spiritual scene. And I think I can understand why this is happening. The media, particularly television, are pushing New Age ideas. And you know that if you watch on a regular basis. Besides, many people are discouraged with what they see on the religious scene. Churches are compromising. They're not preaching anything distinctive. And yet millions of people are searching. They really want some connection with the power behind the universe, or powers, in case it happens to be plural. So there are people searching. We, in many cases, are not providing the answers they need. So the New Age movement has as many as 60 million people in the United States alone who are involved in one phase or another of the New Age movement. The leaders in the New Age movement are also new to any spiritual movement. The leaders, or gurus, as they're sometimes called, range all the way from Shirley MacLaine, who is grossly immoral, to people like Brad Steiger, a very capable writer, and to men who have been within the Restoration movement, Arthur Ford and Edgar Casey. Arthur Ford died in 1971. He had been educated at Transylvania University at Lexington, Kentucky, and was a preacher of the Disciples of Christ. Edgar Casey, who is the number one psychic in the United States of all time, died in 1947, grew up at Hopkinsville, Kentucky, is called sometimes the sleeping prophet because he would go into a trance to deliver his spiritual messages. But both of these men had connections with the Churches of Christ, or the Christian Church, or the Disciples of Christ. Edgar Casey claimed that he had read the Bible every year for his life on earth. And I believe he was 67 when he died. And was a Bible teacher in the Christian Church in Hopkinsville, Kentucky. It really is strange to me that these men with that kind of background should engage in superstition, paganism, voodoo religion. The leaders come, oddly enough, from all branches of science, religion, the entertainment industry, academia, and so on. In fact, I noticed a book in one of the stores in Winston-Salem by an American physician and his wife, and they are both involved in the New Age movement. The ideas and the ideals of a movement are often presented in novel or new ways, and not always unattractive ways, and not always by unattractive people. In fact, millions of people saw Shirley MacLaine's presentation on television. I did not. I wish I had. It was a made-for-television movie called Out on a Limb. I think there were 4 of the one-hour video programs. Books, magazines, videotapes, audio tapes, movies, and many other methods are being used in order to get the story of the coming Age of Aquarius, the New Age movement. The New Age movement has many new twists. It has reached into some of the most influential educational institutions in America. In fact, I get a catalog from one of the state universities in New York, which publishes maybe 75 to 100 titles on the New Age movement. A state university promoting a religion. If they promoted Christianity, that would be declared to be unconstitutional. But they can promote paganism, Hinduism, because many of the Hindu people are involved in this. The roots of the New Age movement go all the way back to Genesis 3, which I shall not discuss with you at length today, but do you remember that the serpent said unto the woman, "You shall not surely die"? Shirley MacLaine has made statements almost exactly like that. Her mother, and they grew up in the state of Virginia, was seriously ill, and Shirley said to her mother, "Now you know, mother, even when you leave, you're not going to die." I'm not sure where she was leaving or where she was going, but she was not going to die. And that is one of the major themes of the New Age movement. But reading further, "For God knows that in the day you eat thereof, your eyes shall be opened, and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil." One of the lectures that I have delivered on this topic on the Fried Hardeman Lectureship was entitled, "You Shall Be Gods." In the series Shirley made for television, Out on a Limb, she was supposedly in Tibet. She was actually in California. But she held her hands to heaven and said, "I am God. I am that I am. I know better. And so do you." But this lie was invented by the devil. "You shall be as God, knowing good and evil." They also emphasize, and Shirley does in all of her books, that we have within us, since we are gods, all the wisdom of the universe. We do not have to read or appeal to authorities. We have all of that within ourselves. And that would indicate that we are God. Now here is a remarkable aspect of the New Age movement. Dr. M. Scott Peck, an American psychiatrist, retired, wrote a book, I believe in 1982, entitled The Less Traveled Roads. Have any of you seen this book? Many of the so-called Christian bookstores are carrying it. In fact, I went into the bookstore on the campus at Fried Hardeman, and I noticed they had it in the bookshelf. And I said to the bookstore manager, "Joe, do you know what that book is?" And he said, "No, not really. I have not read it. But one of our board members has a wife who came in and said, 'You need to get that book by Dr. M. Scott Peck. So Joe ordered it. Dr. Peck is in the New Age movement up to his neck. Now, he has been converted from atheism and secularism to some religious group. But his main contention in his books, and I have four or five of them, is that we are going to be gods. In fact, he said the goal of humanity is that all of us shall become gods. But in Christian bookstores, in fact, I see it often as I go into bookstores across the United States. There's so many phases of the New Age movement that it's really difficult in 2 hours for me to find the information that I would like to share with you that I think would be helpful to you. If you spent the entire week, every single session, talking about the New Age movement, you would not even touch the hem of the garment. That's how broad it is. When you realize the number of different concepts that are being promoted, and incidentally, not all of them are believed by all of the people in the New Age movement. There are many who accept astrology, and others make fun of it. Many of these people believe in reincarnation, but great numbers of them do not. As you would expect in any kind of movement, religious or otherwise, there are always people who become stand-up comics and specialize in making fun in a maybe a generous way, of the people in it. And since I mentioned reincarnation, one man was asked, and this is in Russell Chandler's book, do you believe in reincarnation? And he said, no, I do not believe in it. I used to, but that was in another life. Let me talk briefly about the people. I've already mentioned Shirley MacLaine. Most of us are probably not surprised that Shirley MacLaine and Tina Turner and John Denver and Lisa Bonet and Marsha Mason and even the great scholar Ted Turner have been involved in the occult for years. But this may surprise you. Abraham Lincoln kept a medium in the White House. He had, as you remember, many tragedies. He lost his son, and then he brought in a medium to contact that son. Henry Ford, Ralph Waldo Emerson, now that one does not surprise me, knowing his background in transcendentalism. Walt Whitman, Louisa May Alcott, Sir Arthur Conan Doyle, and even First Lady Nancy Reagan, and the president. Now, Ronald Reagan was my president. I do not hesitate to say that. He's not running. I would not say it if he were running. But I admired much of what Ronald Reagan did. But I do not understand how a man of his intelligence could consult an astrologer. In fact, the name of the book that I mentioned a while ago by Joan Quigley, What Does Joan Say? These are his words. When any kind of decision was to be made, and most of us know how influential Nancy was in the president's life, and I understand that. My wife is influential in my life. But any time a decision was going to be made about a conference or a trip somewhere, then he would say, what does Joan say? And these are the words of Ronald Reagan. The New Age movement is an evil way, and Christians should oppose it. But let me talk about the people for just a moment. Shirley MacLaine seems to be losing some of the luster she enjoyed 8 or 10 years ago. She was born and reared in the state of Virginia, the star of Broadway, movies, television, an extremely capable actress, the sister of Warren Beatty. Her name is actually Beatty, B-E-A-T-Y. He spelled his with two T's. She has been married and divorced, and married and divorced, and married and divorced, and has lived with a number of men without being married to them. Weekend stands or one night stands, and she does not apologize for it. In fact, she says it is not wrong. There are no rights and wrongs. There is no evil. That's a creation of your own mind. Her books include Dancing in the Light, Don't Fall Off the Mountain, It's All in the Playing, Out on a Limb, and you can get there from here. Now let me give you some of her ideas with respect to what the New Age movement is. And these are generally accepted by the leaders of the New Age movement. The human potential movement, which was made popular by humanists, such as Dr. Abraham Maslow, Carl Rogers, and others, is a very vital part of the New Age movement. In fact, these are her words in Out on a Limb. Anything is possible. If you believe, you deserve it. I have news for her. I know a number of things not possible to her, or to you, or to me, or to anyone else. We had a speaker in chapel at Freed Hardeman, a woman with one of the cosmetic companies, who had done extremely well, very successful lady. She got a new Cadillac every year, so she must have been doing quite well, and they gave it to her. Not something she bought. But she said to the young people in chapel at Freed Hardeman, you can do anything you want to do. That is humanism. And it's also false. Dr. Bill Banowski, speaking at a Methodist church in the city of Fort Worth, Texas, said, whatever the mind can conceive and the heart believe, you can achieve. That is not Bible. All of us limit ourselves probably by saying, but I cannot do that. And all of us preachers talk about that. We know churches that have limited themselves by saying, but we cannot do that. We are too few in number. We do not have enough money. In many cases, that is an excuse. We can do, most of the time, more than we do. But no human being can do everything. Only God can do everything. But the human potential movement is a major part of the New Age movement. Number two, she says, and most of the New Age people do, human beings create their own reality. Now, you may think you are listening to me speak this morning. And I don't see anybody asleep, so I suppose all of you are. But you really are not. That's my reality that you're listening. Your reality may be entirely different. You may think you are sitting in a beautiful auditorium down in a hole in West Virginia under the hills, but you really are not, unless that's your reality. Everybody creates his own reality. Let me give you one example from her book. Life, lives, and reality are only what you perceive them to be. I understand how perception can influence our behavior. But there are certain facts and realities that are facts and realities, whatever you think about them. Life does not happen to us. We are creating our reality every moment of the day. For that is the truth of the ultimate reality and the ultimate responsibility. So we create our own reality. It is strange that she talks about the deaths of great numbers of people. For example, she made a trip to Peru a number of years ago and saw the devastation of an earthquake. I do not remember it. It was in 1970. But Peru experienced an earthquake which measured 7.8 on the Richter scale. It killed 67,000 Peruvians. And listen to her statement. In 1972, the shocking avalanche landslide occurred which buried the beautiful mountain city of Yungay, killing 18,000 of its inhabitants. That's 85,000 people killed in Peru. Now, whose reality is that? Now, here's another strange fact of the New Age movement. They chose death. You heard me read a moment ago where Shirley MacLaine says reality does not happen to you. You choose it. She even goes so far as to say that the child who is aborted chooses abortion. It is being reincarnated, and for some reason it learns in its mother's womb that the world is not what it ought to be, that it is not an ideal atmosphere where that soul can grow. So the child either is aborted and chooses to be aborted, or when it is born, it chooses to die from infant death syndrome. But we all choose our death. I wonder if all 85,000 of those people in Peru chose their deaths at the same time. According to her theory, they did. And if you know anything at all, you know how ridiculous and unreasonable all of that is. She talks about AIDS in her book, one of her books, and she says, AIDS, if you will notice, has become prevalent and in direct ratio to the homophobia in your social order. AIDS is directly related to the fact that you and I oppose homosexuality. Now, homophobia is a word created by the homosexual community, which absolutely makes no sense. It is designed to make me feel bad when I say, as I do, that homosexuality is sin. That's homophobia. And homophobia can get you fired from almost any major university and from some of our major corporations such as AT&T. But homophobia is the reason, according to Shirley MacLaine, that AIDS has grown. It is a social consciousness illness. I thought it was a sickness. It is interesting also, and Judge Bork points this out in his book talking about racism, that many of the black leaders, including people like Jesse Jackson, believe that AIDS was created by the white community in order to destroy the black community. And surveys have shown that at least 25% of blacks believe that, and maybe another 25 or 30% think it is possible. A third concept from Shirley MacLaine. There is no evil. It is only the creation of the human mind. Anybody who says that is thoroughly evil. I mentioned last night in my discussion of militant Christianity the many problems we face in the United States, and particularly in the realm of abuse of children and spouse abuse. And I know Shirley MacLaine would oppose that. I have absolutely no doubt that she would say no child ought to be abused. No parent ought to sexually molest a child. No man ought to beat his wife. And yet she says there is no evil. I guess the only evil is thinking there is evil. All of that's a creation of the human mind. Shirley records in her book, Dancing in the Light, an affair she had with a Russian filmmaker whose name I could not pronounce if I tried. She called him Vasi, so I choose to call him by his shorter name. He had three wives, and then he lived with her for a number of years, and he had a number of lovers. He had a guilty conscience. He grew up in Russia, and there was enough religion left in Russia, probably from his parental background, that he felt guilty. And she called him a deep-seated conventional Christian moral man. And she told him, there is no evil. You worry about the evil that you commit, and there is no evil. One of the channelers for Shirley MacLaine is Kevin Ryerson. Now, channeler is what we used to call a medium. This is a man or a woman who's supposed to be in contact with either discarnate spirits, that is, those that never really existed, like Ramtha, a 35,000-year-old discarnate spirit, or in touch with some person who has died. And some group claims to be channeling Arthur Ford. I mentioned Ford a while ago, who was an American psychic, and they claim to be channeling him. The person claims to go into a trance, like Edgar Casey did, and then these departed spirits, or these discarnate spirits, speak through that individual. And Shirley was in touch with one of these spirits through Kevin Ryerson, and Ryerson claims to channel the beloved John, and I get the impression probably the Apostle John. He also channels an Irish pickpocket. That's probably for entertainment. But Kevin Ryerson said to Shirley MacLaine, what you term Satan is merely the force of your lower consciousness as you engage in your struggle to reform and to know God, which has no origin. It is interesting, though, on one occasion, when this Russian filmmaker had made a statement to Shirley MacLaine, she said, that is a flat lie. Is that bad or good? It's not evil. Number four, and this I have already alluded to, death is an illusion. Now this, as you know, if you've studied Hinduism, comes from the Hindus, and a few statements from Shirley. Perhaps, am I supposed to be through at 10:50? I got started five late, so let me give them about five more. There is no such thing as death, she says. And then when she was talking to her mom, and I mentioned this a moment ago, she said, well, Mom, you know, even when you go, you're not going to die. If you feel that the spirit guides are real, then they are. Let me mention two other facets of the New Age movement, and then the Lord willing, we'll take up here at 2 this afternoon. Evolution, not necessarily material evolution, which is taught by Darwin, but evolution of the soul. Now, so far as I could tell, and I have not read all of the prominent people in the area, but most of them believe in Darwinian evolution. Shirley MacLaine does. Arthur Ford did, even though Arthur Ford was supposed to be a disciple of Christ's preacher. But when they start talking about evolution, they normally are not talking about evolution of the body. They're talking about evolution of the soul. When you die, you depart the first time you die. After you're reincarnated, you come back at a different level. But the first time you die, you're on level one. And then the second time, maybe you advance to level two. And level seven is the highest. And when you achieve that, then you merge with God. Because you came from God. You're a spark from God. And when you go back, then you merge with God. And that, too, is a part of Hinduism. One other concept and that of hedonism. As you would expect, people who believe there is no evil would say that whatever you want to do is perfectly permissible. Shirley lived with a man she called Jerry, according to her story. He was a member of the English Parliament. But he is a figment of her imagination. A number of scholars have investigated and have found that he's a kind of composite of men with whom she had slept, that she did not have an affair with a member of Parliament. Not that Parliament people would not engage in that kind of activity, because we have some in the United States Congress who do, but who will remain nameless. My hope and wish today in respect to the New Age movement is that you will investigate it, and if you need a list of books, you let me know, and I will be delighted to furnish them. And then you will discuss these. I really believe you'll be amazed at how many people in your city, maybe in your congregation, lean in the direction of some of these ideas in the New Age movement.